Welcome to the Sixers Mania Podcast. I am your host, Will Coffrin. Joining me again, Justin Maltz of Sixers Mania, creator, founder, CEO. How are you doing?
All the titles there. I'm doing well and excited to finally talk about the Sixers. It's been a pleasant surprise to watch them again. And not that I wasn't watching the games previously without Embiid, but it's a lot more entertaining. And I think it brought some joy back, that I can tell you.
Yep. No, for sure. So we last did a pod right before he returned, and we essentially, I thought he was going to look rusty, and I think he certainly did the first game. We disagreed. I mean, I guess it was just more so, it was rust, but it was more so gas the first game against OKC, yep. Which was, of course, a good game, but they were like a negative 20 with Embiid on the court. Not that I thought he was bad, but there were definitely issues in transition. Towards the end, just the shots weren't really going in. It was a lot of getting to the line, but he still had flashes of an old self, but he's already significantly cut down on the turnovers through the games. The playmaking's been there. It looks like what Embiid looked like earlier in the season as of late. I wouldn't say it's 100% there, but it looks about 90. I don't know if that's fair to say, at least as of late. He's playing a little bit less minutes, but they're trying to ramp him up. He played 36 against Detroit, which granted Detroit's terrible, I understand, but he played 36 and he didn't really look too gassed. But I don't know. What do you think of Embiid so far?
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, clearly, I mean, we knew his impact and we know what he brings to the team. And the Sixers are undefeated since he's returned. They've won, what, 5 in a row here. So that says something, as we expected. And not like they're playing insanely talented opponents. At least the past three have been easier games. But overall, just to have him back, I think from just a team standpoint, and it makes everyone better. It's great to see him on the court and just kind of, getting our 30 points plus, per game, pretty much standard at this point when Embiid's on the court. It's nice to see, yes, the first game he was rusty and definitely a little out of shape, as expected when you take off, or not take off, when you're injured for 2 months, right? Like a vacation there. But it's good to have him back and for him to be consistent again and really see his shots fall and him get to his spots. And, almost like you said, I would agree about 90% of the way to the Embiid that we saw when he was on his MVP tear, which I believe he would have been. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, dominant so far. So I like to see him back. And it's great he's getting these games under his belt right now before we enter the playoffs, where we all know that he has his struggles. So it's good to see these trending in a positive way, put it that way.
Yeah. The standings have been a little bit more favorable as of late. But nonetheless, the feet may be thrown into the fire. We are the 7 seed right now. So, if we won the play-in, it would be currently against the Bucks, or, if we lose against the Heat, then it would be playing for the Celtics spot. It would be a gauntlet right away. So we really need him to ramp up, but there's still a couple games left. I think the sixth seed's pretty much out of reach. I mean, the Sixers have been on fire recently, but like Indiana's been pulling out these games. The Cavs have been losing. Unfortunately, the Knicks have won a couple of games. Not that the Knicks are catchable now, but before there was like a chance, you just kind of needed one of them, and not really any of them have. The Magic have been the only team, and Magic and Cavs have been like kind of flaky, but they've been, they were so much better earlier, so they had quite a cushion. So it's still possible. I believe, I forget who the Mavs play. I saw that the Mavs, because like Kyrie Irving has some sort of incentive where he's playing the Heat right now. Okay, they're up 15.
They're playing the Heat right now. Yep.
All right, well, that's good. Yeah, so at least giving us some padding against the Heat would be nice. But and we do play the Magic, which could be a pretty crucial game. But Kyrie has this $1 million incentive if they win and he plays. So I think that was the reason I believe he's playing. But
I like it.
I haven't checked. Yeah. So yeah, let's get it. I mean, it's been super fucking optimistic. I mean, just going on Embiid, you talked about our recent opponents have been great. The Heat were a legit opponent.
They've been
great wins. The last three games you're referring to, I think also refers to the Spurs game, which, yes, that's not quite there, but Embiid was not playing. And that was just
a tough, yeah.
Phenomenal win. Well, it's a phenomenal win. I don't care. No Embiid.
It's a great win.
To win like that, and also like
absolutely.
No Tobias, and I think they're better without Tobias. But still, you're that's $80 million of players not playing. They scrapped it together, and it was just huge executing down the stretch. Batum, I think, has been unbelievable as of late. As he just always tends to look when Embiid plays, but that Spurs game, there was no Embiid. It was just inbound passing, Batum swinging the game, which is insane. So, and of course, Ricky Council. Huge shout out, Ricky Council. He's awesome. He's the man.
Yeah.
He's been great recently. Yeah, I don't know.
I was gonna try real quick for the Spurs.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, quick cough there. The Spurs, I mean, big time win. Like you said, went what, double overtime, which is their first double overtime game in like, I think it was like since 20, it's been years. It's been years they went double overtime. And Tyrese Maxey had a career high, was at 51, 52?
52. It was on a ton of shots and he played 54 minutes, which I assume helped. So it was, I wouldn't say it was like his greatest game, even though it was his career high, but he was phenomenal, especially down the stretch. He really heated up in the second half when everyone was gassed.
Yeah, so. Maxey was, he was 2-for-10 from three in that game, so did not shoot super efficiently. He did get to the line, 12-for-12, did not miss.
But to do that against Wembanyama is pretty nice, see? Because he's getting inside. Like, that wasn't...
It's really impressive.
Like he, right, you know. But.
Yeah, no, really, really impressive stuff. Big time win there, team effort. I agree with the Batum take there that, I mean, his inbound passes have been absolutely huge. Oubre has consistently been, and not even just in this stretch, honestly, over the past month and a half, months, ever since Embiid went out, he has been so crucial to this team. Seriously, and I don't think it's an understatement. If Kelly Oubre was not on this team, we would have a few less wins. We would. It's very clear. Yes, 100%. I'm factoring the Embiid injury here, but there was no second option or even clear second option. Hey, Embiid goes out. Yes, you have Tyrese, but who's next? Kelly Oubre has stepped up. He's provided this team some positioning. They might not even be in the plan if it was not for him, you know, throughout this stretch. Now Embiid's back, and we're on their come up right now. We're on the rise. So yeah.
You can maybe call the Sixers fraudulent, not you specifically, but people can call them fraudulent because of several reasons. However, I would think they're considered in the title contender tier, though they would be a bit lower. Like, we're not Denver, we're not Boston. But the fact that Kelly Oubre is arguably the third best player on a title team on the minimum is just an insane fact, especially considering where his situation was in the offseason, how like nobody really wanted him. He was playing in Charlotte. Like, it's been an incredible job by Oubre to acclimate to a contending team after being on a lot of losing teams. I know that our record's not amazing, but we are, you know, obviously when Embiid plays, he plays his role. He is so much better than Tobias Harris. He should play in the head of Tobias Harris. Tobias has been fine since he came back from injury, by the way. But it's just, that's not even a negative about Tobias. It's about how good Oubre's been and how good Batum has been. Like, these guys need to play more. Batum, especially with Embiid, just because of those entry passes.
Yeah. Batum has been crucial. And I love to see the chemistry this time of year. I mean, it feels like the Sixers, and of course, Embiid is a huge proponent to this, but they really are. You want to hit your stride entering the playoffs, and it seems like these past couple games, not only, of course, just having Embiid back, but even the other players, like we mentioned, the Spurs game, Embiid didn't play.
Right,
they
and they
showed
looked
up
more
and
cohesive.
They look cohesive. They performed at a high level. The team was clicking. It's good to have you know, some players back. I'm sure we'll mention the D'Anthony Melton news, but there, you know, plenty of stuff to talk about, but it's great to just kind of see the Sixers as a whole hitting their stride. Guys like Ricky Council, who, let's be honest, probably won't see many minutes, if at all, in the playoffs.
Unless they convert his contract, he literally cannot. So.
Yeah, cool. Correct. But, you know, just great to see the team kind of clicking at the right time. So.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned that too. Like, Kelly Oubre has been, he had two games back to back of 5 assists. He's not known as a passer, but, you know, I think it's just when it's cohesive. I don't think that's individually on Oubre. I just think that the rest of the team, they've been hitting the spot in the right way. I think Nick Nurse has been doing a phenomenal job, as evident, not just by this, but he's doing a great job as a whole. But in that Spurs game, he put in Ricky Council. Like, he just knew the vibes were right. And granted, I think I don't like how little he plays Ricky Council to start with, because I think Council's awesome. But he put in Ricky Council. He drew up those inbound plays with Batum hitting Maxey in stride with 2 seconds left. You know, just he's been manufacturing looks in a way that Doc Rivers was never able to do so. And that's, you know, I'm not even being super negative of Doc necessarily, even though if I want to be negative about the Doc, I would mention that the Bucks have been absolute horse shit ever since he took over, and that they were much better with Adrian Griffin. But yeah, that's not even described to Doc. Nurse has just been that great as of late, which is funny because he's going to have the worst record of any coach we had that made the playoffs. Whatever.
Not his fault. You know, Nurse is proven to be a really, really good coach, and, you know, has a title under his belt. And I'm excited to go on the playoffs and would love to face the Bucks. Would love it. I would
I
love
think
to
that's the
see
most likely
Doc Rivers.
scenario, Bucks
Love,
round
give me
one,
them
just
all
by
day.
standings. I agree, especially Giannis got his he injured his calf. I'm not saying I want them because they're injured. I wanted them before that.
Correct.
And honestly, I would prefer a lesser team, like, because I do think the Bucks would be favored in that one. I think the Sixers are favored over any team that isn't the Celtics or the Bucks. And it would just
I
suck
think
to
the
be
home
a.
games the Sixers would be favorites in, I
I meant the
think,
series
versus the
just in
Bucks.
general.
The series overall would be close, but I still think, I don't know
Yeah.
what, like, if you look at the odds of how many games it's going to go, but that series would go 6 or 7. I think most people would probably, whether they pick the Sixers or the Bucks,
Yeah.
it's not a, sweep on either end. I think it's a very competitive series. Even with Giannis fully healthy, I absolutely give the Sixers a shot there. The Bucks don't look the
I
same
mean,
team. This is the
they have a
deepest
shot,
Sixers
but I just
team
think
we've
it's
ever had.
like they got
No,
Giannis
they
and
have a
Brook
shot,
Lopez
certainly.
against Embiid. Like, they kind of got the guys that can stop Embiid. Granted, Maxey might be able to score 50 every game because their perimeter defense is awful.
Bad, yeah.
But I don't know. I would still take the Bucks there, but it would be awesome to eliminate Doc. And we got to beat a good team eventually, but I, wouldn't necessarily want to be a first round exit. But
Yeah.
we could beat them at full strength, though. Absolutely. We have a shot. It's just not, not likely, is what I would say.
It's a shame too. There's so many, you look at the 3 seed New York and 4 seed, right? And of course this could move, but even those 3 through 6 seeds, those 4 teams, man,
Yeah.
all beatable.
I think
All very,
I
very
wouldn't just say
beatable,
beatable. I think the
respectfully.
Knicks are the only one that would really put up a fight. And I know that Julius Randle's out. I think they're better without Julius Randle. Shout out Sam. Yeah, like Magic, Cavs, Pacers. Sixers would be favored by
You're
a
not scared of
mile.
the
Like
Cavs at
that.
all? They don't scare
No,
you at
not
all,
at
the
all. I think we
Cavs?
went in five against the Cavs. Not gonna lie.
Which team out of Orlando, Cleveland, and Indiana scares you? I'm curious. The most.
Orlando, I guess.
Okay. Interesting. They all have
What is it,
almost the
Cleveland
exact
for
same
you?
record.
Yeah.
I would lean Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell can have his moments.
No, he certainly can, but he and Garland just like don't really click together. And like, it's an interesting conversation. This isn't for now's podcast. We did it kind of a while
Now's
ago
fun.
with regards to Cade Cunningham, but like Evan Mobley has really kind of been a disappointment. He's a good player, but he's just kind of like there,
Yeah.
in my mind.
He's not a star. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy how that draft went. But none. But that's as an aside. I'm just saying, like, Embiid dominates Jared Allen every time. And yes, they have size between those two guys, but neither of those, Allen and Mobley, don't scare me in the slightest at any point one on one. So they would have to send doubles. And once again, perimeter defense kind of an issue with the Cavs. And I don't know. They just look bad as a unit. They had a stretch where they looked awesome, and it was Donovan Mitchell's team. But Donovan Mitchell, I also kind of feel like has one foot out the door. At least with the Magic, they have wings that we can't really defend, is what I would say between. And Wagner hasn't even really been playing that well this year, and I think he has another gear to get to, which seems crazy to say in game 70, not like in 9 and 80. I think they're on actually game 80. Like, to say that they have another gear to hit to might seem crazy because they're already the 4 seed, which is a bit overachieving. But I love Paolo. They have good defensive guards, Fultz, Suggs, any one of them, and then Isaac, whenever he comes in for 5 minutes, it wreaks havoc. So,
Before he gets injured. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
right. Well, I mean, that's kind of how it has to go with Isaac. But like, I don't know. They're none of them scare me, by the way. I think we win in five or six against all of them. The
Yeah.
Knicks,
No, it's curious.
I think, are a
Yeah.
substantial step above, and then the Bucks and the Celtics are a substantial above step above that, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah. I think I was going to say, having, I know the Knicks, of course, were without Julius Randle, who does not scare me as a player. Brunson's legit. They have some tough defenders. Josh Hart's really, really good. DiVincenzo's good at times. And they have a complete team there. So the Knicks, I would put them a slight tier above. But even the Knicks, realistically, I think they win a game at home, Madison Square Garden. I don't see them coming to
Yeah.
Philly, which they've had our number this year. A couple of games were without Embiid, so it really is, it's hard to even look at a lens through that way. But
They did
I
beat
think we
us with
still beat the
Embiid,
Knicks in
though, when he
five,
was
maybe
healthy.
six.
Yeah,
They
for sure.
did. They had a quality win, against with Embiid in there. But in a series, I would take us in probably 6 games, and that's being generous. Versus those other teams, Orlando, Cleveland, Indiana, I have us in five. You kind of just have to throw one. I don't think we sweep anyone, but yeah, got to get out of the play-in first, or win that play-in game, should I say. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, it looks like we're going to be in the play. And let's we'll talk about it more, because this will probably be our last one until the playoffs actually start, would be my guess. But I mean, you don't, let's say we lose to the Heat. Like, which is fine. We'd have one less chance against the Bulls or the Hawks. Not obviously we think we're going to win against either team, but which one would you rather not play?
Oh, give me the Chicago Bulls.
I agree, even though they're higher in the standings. Now, granted, it's like one game. But Trae Young coming back, and obviously we have some demons from when they beat us before. But I still think the Hawks suck, but Trae can get it one game, where I don't think anyone on the Bulls can do that.
No. The Bulls do not scare me in the slightest. I know they have, and they're one game worse than Atlanta, but they don't scare me at all. Trae Young, like you said, could light it up for one game. DeJounte Murray could shut down Maxey for a quarter, whatever it is. And that's all you need, right? And Beach chucking up threes. We're down 15 and a half. It's over. So the Sixers, of course, need to treat these games like, you know, game seven, which I'm sure they will. But yeah, if they lose to the Heat, I would rather give me Chicago all day.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, DeMar is a really good player, but doesn't scare me. Outside of that, I mean, Levine's injured; he's not playing. So, I mean,
treating. We're good. You bring up an interesting thing just by saying treating it like it's Game Seven, because I think they should. I'm not disagreeing with you. However, I do think there's some danger of a letdown after that. I know it's the playoffs and that's when it's time to ramp up, but just in terms of people being gassed, like huge wins after huge wins, like I think you definitely want to end the season well, but you don't want to end the season with a bunch of close games, which they've had recently. Pistons not, Grizzlies not, but you know, the Thunder, Heat, and Spurs have all been close wins, and I feel like you don't want a ton of those where it's like, whew, we won that one, all right, time to ease. I know they're not going to ease up in the playoffs, but you know, whatever. This Magic game, they got to really hone in on. You know, if the Magic win, it's probably over and they're probably pigeonholed where they are. But you know, win the Magic game. Don't be
let this
team beat you.
Win out, you know, beat the Magic, which I think they will. They are a better team than the Orlando Magic. Let's not get it twisted. I know the standings say they're a 3 seed or 4, whatever.
Their team
it is.
Doesn't always win.
Correct. Yeah, correct. But the Sixers, I'm taking, they're treating it seriously. They played, you know, better as of late, ever since Embiid has came back. They performed very, very well, not just him, but the overall team, and the chemistry is on the rise. And I mean, seriously, I don't think there's anyone except for the Celtics truly in the Eastern Conference that would say, hey, the Sixers have pretty much zero shot against. It's outside of Boston.
Even Boston, I'd give them more. I know you're not actually thinking.
Yeah,
there,
I'm just trying to
more.
Be not biased. Correct.
No, for sure. I think Boston's a juggernaut. I think they're going to be in the finals. I don't know if they're going to win the finals. I think Denver's a very good pick, too. I think the thing with Boston, as good as their record is, they still have a lot of their issues from previous years, and obviously it's not like they've been to the finals every year. They went to the finals that one year against the Warriors, and then it's like they really need those jumpers to fall, and Jaylen Brown, who is a good player,
he
can't really dribble. So, despite being a good player, in the playoffs, I just think that gets exposed a little bit more. And Tatum, I don't know if he can keep making step back jumpers. And Drew is known to disappear in the playoffs, even though he does have a ring and was pretty crucial in that finals run. But it is something that's been the case over the past couple of years with him. Let's not forget, he is the guy who did lose. I mean, granted, I know Giannis was injured, but they did lose against the Heat last year in the first round because he was on the Bucks. So. Important to note that they have those guys.
Every team.
Go ahead.
Every team, of course, you have a chance against. I mean, the Boston, I think we all know, is, like you said, they're a juggernaut. They're the hardest team to go against, and one of the teams that I would want to face towards the end. I know people say, hey, well, let's get them out the way. No, let them
I just
get
think
banged
it would be a fun conference finals.
And whatever it is. It would be a fantastic. I mean, Philly-Boston would be phenomenal. I think people want to see that would be ratings through the roof for the NBA. They know it. No offense to Denver. I believe the Denver series last year, the finals versus the Heat, was one of the lowest viewed NBA finals of all time. It was top five, I believe. Now, I'm not, you know, no disrespect to Denver, but that says something. So I think people want really good markets and competitive games. And yeah, let's hope that's the case with the Sixers.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking to that, last time on the podcast, we have to sort of do the same segment again, unfortunately, because it does throw a wrinkle. They made it seem like Melton was just like kind of done and De'Anthony Melton came back against the Pistons. Now, he came back in off the bench. And that's what happened the first time with the back injury. And the back does seem prone to getting tweaked again. So I don't know how careful they're going to be, but we are about to be in the playoffs. So I don't know how much, like, you can afford to be careful. Full strength, are you starting De'Anthony Melton in the playoffs?
Not yet. I think
not yet. Maybe as the playoffs go on.
At this moment, I can't say yes. I would lean no. Now, that's not to say there's zero chance if, you know, hey, even these next two games, he gets a starter, plays significant minutes, and he shows me some things, right? And then, hey, maybe in the playing game, he has some good flashes. I don't think he'll start. I don't think Nurse will start him at least the next two games and the play-in, whatever the case is. Now, I could see come playoff time, you know, I'm not saying there's injuries, whatever, but I could certainly see Melton stepping in there and him switching up the rotation based on the matchup. That's a possibility. But right now, I would say no.
Okay.
Melton starting.
You wouldn't, to be clear. I know you kind of gave a prediction there, but you also would not.
I personally wouldn't. I don't think he's okay. There, ready.
No, that's fine. I'm just getting to...
Love Melton, just not yet. I need to see more.
This is like, I know I like having takes and everything, but this is like the least take I have. I don't have a problem if they did start. I don't really care. I think it's Lowry. As of now, I think Lowry just gives you veteran leadership, especially in the playoffs. Not I know that's as cliche as it sounds, but he also provides those ball skills that not a lot of people have. I think you've even been seeing, you know, we all expected the Buddy Hield and Joel chemistry to really be off the charts, but that really hasn't been the case. But it has been with Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry and Embiid look like they've played together for like 3 years. It's kind of been crazy. Obviously, Lowry's a flawed player. He's not quite as good as he used to be, but he's been very useful for the Sixers right now, and he provides things that no one else does, especially when Bamba and Reed are in there, because Kyle Lowry can actually throw an alley-oop and recognize when that's an option. It kind of throws those guys off when he recognizes that, because they're just not used to it. But yeah, I think Lowry's been really good. Hield has been so disappointing, and I know you talked about before how you would start him in the playoffs. Do you still stand by that?
No, I mean, as of late, like you said, disappointing is the word to really classify what he's been playing like. It's really unfortunate. He's done zero. You know, he hasn't really shot the ball really well, which is, of course, his main skill and why he's out there in the first place. He's not providing you elite playmaking or ball handling, and that's not why he's out there. So, no, I wouldn't start him. I still think he deserves significant minutes because he's one of those guys where, hey, if he sees a three go in or makes two in a row, he starts to heat up. That's a real option there. So he certainly deserves significant minutes in the playoffs, no doubt about it, but he's not a starter, not yet. I mean, you know, you have to kind of work your way up there. I don't see them starting him at all.
Yeah, I mean, Nurse doesn't really seem to like him. I like him a little bit better than Nurse, and the shots have been going in for the most part. It's just been he doesn't get them off very quickly. It's like Seth Curry again, but it's still better than Seth Curry. I think people just had a little. I'm not to go full defend Buddy Hield, but the chemistry just hasn't been there. Like for whatever reason, he cannot navigate a Joel screen dribble handoff. Like he just can't do it. You know, to Seth Curry's credit, he was able to do that with similar issues that Buddy has. He was just able to do it better. So I think it is like a cohesiveness in playing with Joel. I get it. They're brand new. I don't expect them to be experts. But, like, it's been like pretty jarring how bad Buddy's been with Joel so far. He keeps going to mid-range. It's like, dude, like, just shoot the three. You're one of the greatest shooters of all time. You're the greatest shooter on this team. Like, just do it. But,
yeah,
you know.
I'm just looking at Buddy's stats over the past since Embiid came back April 2nd against OKC. I mean, Buddy Hield plays roughly about 20 minutes a night, give or take. He played 25 against Detroit and Memphis. 3-point, he was 1-for-2 against OKC, 0-for-4 against Miami. He was 1-for-7 against Memphis, 2-for-5 against San Antonio, and 5-for-9 against Detroit, which was his best game.
Yeah, and it was coming against the worst teams. Like, the better teams are just able to take him out of the game.
Yeah, 0-for-4 against Miami. He 0-for-4, right. And the Thunder 1-for-2. He got two threes off, which we need more in 21 minutes. I need more.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand why he's trying to, like, cook in the mid-range. I get it. Like, you know, this isn't like 2K where it's like you can get a three every time. But still, it's like, Buddy, you're there. I was using Buddy as his first name, not trying to like talk down to him. Buddy is there to,
come on, Buddy,
to shoot threes. Like, please shoot them.
I'm sure that's what a coach does. Hey, Buddy, come on.
Buddy, you pal. Yes.
Yeah, pal, quarter player.
Yeah, right. I mean, What I mean, I guess I'll just talk about it. I think Melton definitely looked rusty in his game back. You know, I know it's against the Pistons, so not everyone was tuned in, but he looked a little rusty. Shots just weren't falling, but he still looked De'Anthony Melton-ish. I think like he's just a guy. It's going to take a couple of games. Hopefully, he's ready for the playoffs. But I mean, that's of course a significant development as opposed to not having him. I mean, I assume Covington's done. Not that that matters. That was always seemed. But even if Covington comes back in the playoffs, I don't know how you can insert him into the rotation after not being there, unless it's like a, you know, inbound where you want a deflection. Like, you know, it's got to be very.
Yeah, it's really a shame too. I mean, we both love and are fans of Robert Covington, but for him to not even make a return at all this season has been really, really tough.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate stuff because he, I mean, before getting injured was, I feel like was still a decent asset for the team, and to come off the bench and give you some minutes at the wing position, which of course, you know, previously we've needed help. Now this year, this is one of the deepest six. Would you say this is the deepest Sixers team in the Beach career?
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before. But to reiterate it, similarly, like this is arguably the most confident. I think I said it last pod, most confidence I've had since the team with Simmons, where Simmons flamed out. And I just had confidence in that team mostly because of Embiid, but in terms of surround and I still believed in Simmons, and then he melted down. Like I was like, well, there's no way he's going to keep melting, but he did. We all know how that went. But I'm just saying, yeah, this team, I mean, like the guys like Oubre, the guys like Batum, we usually don't have those types of players, and they've been phenomenal. They've been playing their roles, and they're also wings, which are also extremely useful. We haven't really had wings in the past. Like, but even that, just that type of player, like I'm saying with Batum, he's kind of like, Batum to me is not to just keep using Sixers players, but obviously that's what people can most remember and relate to. Like, he provides a lot of what we wanted Horford to provide and a lot of what we wanted PJ Tucker to provide in one package, and he's just a lot better at like doing it, you know. And
it's a good,
he's
a good
been
comparison.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
No, it is.
Yeah. He is. He's a solid defender. He really does a little bit on, not to steal D'Anthony Melton's nickname of Mr. Do It All, but like
no, he does. But he legit does. He does it more than D'Anthony Melton, I would say, because he's an interior defender. He's a perimeter defender. He's a three shooter. He's a great passer. Like he does everything you could ask for. He's like one of the best glue guys you can ask for. I absolutely love Batum and Oubre, and I know I've said that several times. And it's going to be
IQ.
Crazy. Yeah,
for Batum, high IQ player, like really
I think the
smart.
Highest on
he
the
just
team,
knows
which
the
is
game.
Crazy. Yeah,
yeah, but to have that, and that's the thing, like you said, not only just the deepest, but like the veteran leadership from Batum to
and
having
Lowry.
Kyle Lowry out there, and they aren't just guys that are they're riding the bench and kind of giving you like the Udonis Haslam, like you know the cheerleading from the bench. No, they're on the court. Not only are they, you know, they know what they're doing IQ wise, but they're also playing. They're contributors. They're actually giving you some solid minutes out there, and they're not totally washed, which has been the problem in the past. Yeah, Sixers get a veteran guy, but he's just way out of his, you know, not even prime, but just he's done. He's toast. So it's good to see that, and they have a real shot this year. You know, hey, if Embiid's off one game, well, of course you rely on Tyrese Maxey, but they have some other, you know. I wouldn't be shocked. Hey, if Oubre puts 30 or can somehow get to 40 in a game, which is, of course, asking a lie, but I wouldn't be shocked if Oubre hits 30 points one in the playoffs. Not at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I haven't even mentioned Tobias Harris, who's allegedly your third best player. So they're deep. They're really, really deep.
Yeah. And you would think hypothetically, this would take some pressure off of Tobias Harris. I don't think he's ever had a ton of pressure before. Last year, when you have Harden, Maxey, and Embiid on the team, there's no excuse either. But still, nonetheless, there's probably a higher quantity of players, but maybe not as high quality because, you know, Harden obviously commands quite a bit of attention. Batum and Oubre don't command that type of attention, but they're two different players that, you know, definitely make it easier for other guys to score.
The problem is pressure, at least for Tobias, pressure will not change his play style, and that's the main issue.
He has
you know
no
what
sense
I mean?
Of like urgency or what to do.
Yeah,
on court.
Yeah. There's no the spacing and this and let me cut, let me post and you know fade to the free throw line and you know maybe it goes in. Whatever. It's just the awareness when you talk about IQ and knowing your role, which you know we had Tobias. There were stretches where Tobias kind of buys into his role of being a catch and shoot guy, but then it fades and you know that doesn't work and he goes back to his same old. So not to shit on Toby, which we always love to do, but hey, I mean hey, it's way how much longer before the contract's up.
I'm glad you said that because I want everyone to just you know if you are tired of hearing us cry about Tobias Harris. I got good news. He's got two games left for the Sixers in the regular season, then he's never in the uniform again. So, he'll be in the playoff rotation, unfortunately. But this is it for Toby. I hope they can bring Oubre back next season, but I want to actually transition into an off-season target that we forgot to talk about last week.
Ooh.
But also a Clippers forward, Paul George, he is expiring at the end of the season. Kawhi signed an extension, and it was kind of thought, all right, well, Paul George is going to sign his too. That did not happen. Paul George still hasn't signed that extension, and numerous people have reported, and maybe he's using Philadelphia for leverage, entirely possible, because this will be his last big deal. He's 34, I believe, or going into his age 34 season. But he didn't sign an extension with them, and things have not been going incredibly well in Clipperland. I mean, they've had a couple of nice wins recently, but the Harden thing, like, Harden's been terrible for them recently. He is exactly what he was here, except slightly worse. Like, it's the same issues. There was that Paul George was asked after one of the games, how would you get Harden going amidst his cold streak? He's like, I don't know, I'm not the coach. It doesn't seem like things are great over there, and it's ne the vibes have never been good in Clipperland. Paul George also takes a lot of the blame, and he, if you remember, I believe that was when they were in the conference finals. He was the
Yep.
a couple years ago, like when it was them Phoenix, or was it not the guy? But I don't know. They took Phoenix when Phoenix made the finals. Like they Paul George was the only guy there. Kawhi wasn't there. It was just all Paul George, and like he gets a lot of shit for their shortcomings, and he has been injured quite a bit. But like I don't know. It's not really his fault, and he's sort of declined. But I could see the Clippers being hesitant to offer that because they do got to keep the team together. What are your thoughts on Paul George to the Sixers?
I would absolutely love it. He is a perfect fit. We mention all the time how it's hard to get elite wings. And yes, is he a little bit past his prime? Perhaps. Is he a little old? Sure. But Joel Embiid, I believe, is 30 years old. We're not in the
Time is now.
position, or do we have the assets, to rebuild the draft? And no, if you can get a high level top 15, whatever you want to put him at, top 20, I'm not going to have the debate. He is an elite player. That's all we need to discuss. And he is a wing and he can shoot and play defense and everything that we've mentioned that we need. And oh, this, we need this guy and that guy. He's a perfect fit. He would go tremendously well with Maxey, Paul George, Embiid. That is a true big three that you can assemble and say, hey, going into the season, we have a legit shot. When you look at the odds that ESPN and all these big sites put out, going into next season, we have Paul George on the team. There's a reason why the Sixers would be a top three, top four favorite in the entire NBA because of talent, and talent wins, as we know, every single season it wins. So yes, Paul George is a Sixers no-brainer. Absolutely.
Yeah. So his stats are down, or his stats are actually up. Depending on which ones you look for, they're down and up. Efficiency's up, which makes sense because he's now plays with James Harden, and Westbrook for the full season. So considering he's only averaging 1 point less, it's pretty good. The assists are 1.5 down, but once again, he's got Harden and Russ the entire year. He's been really good. He's still a sharpshooter, 41% from three, 8 threes a game, like. He's awesome. He still is. People have talked about his decline. I have no hesitations about giving him that deal, because the time is now. If we get 1 or 2 years out of Paul George, that's all that really matters. And he's a guy who, yes, he's had his injury concerns, but his game should age very well. Even though he does have a lot of athleticism, and he's retained a lot of that athleticism to his credit. He's not what he used to be, of course, but he is still very athletic, and that helps him be a good defender. But he's also just a really smart defender. He's got a really good handle, like, and that's not athleticism dependent. I would say he's got a better handle than James Harden, who's their fucking point guard. So just getting that, he's long, he can get shots off. Like, absolutely love Paul George. I think he'd be a perfect fit here. And in terms of how feasible it is, like, it's like I mentioned, if he's not getting that contract from the Clippers, and even if he is, I could see him being frustrated being Clippered. Now, he is from LA. He's friends with Russ, who's friends with Harden. He went to LA with Kawhi, so I assume there's a good relationship there. But we don't know everything behind the scenes, and we've seen people get frustrated with Kawhi in the past. And San Antonio is more so the coaching staff, but people seem frustrated. Even in Toronto, it's not like everyone threw a fit when Kawhi left. They're like, yeah, well, we want a title. Like, all right, good vibes only now on. Like, I wouldn't be totally stunned. And if we offer him the most money, why wouldn't he come here? If we don't offer him the most money, then that's where I have my doubts. However, it's just. It's one of those things, like, how are the Clippers really going to navigate this offseason and just this team in general? And I think it's reasonable to have concerns, especially because they would be in position where they could offer him 5 years. if they don't want to offer him 5 years, like, Paul George might take that as an insult. We can only offer him 4 years, so it's not like we would insult him by only offering four. I don't know. I think it's realistic. He also said on his podcast he's good friends with Joel Embiid, and he brought him up recently and like was like talking about how much he loves his game. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll be bold prediction right now. I think we're getting Paul George.
I love it.
The only way I'm gonna say no, and obviously the only way, like, they could just offer him more, but I'll say the only way that it doesn't happen is either if the Sixers or the Clippers win the title. Because if he wins the title, I assume he's just going to, like, cash out and, like, have a good time.
That's, yeah, yeah.
But so, I also think there's 0% chance the Clippers win the title. And there's, like, Sixers fans. There's, like a 10% chance the Sixers win the title. So, you know.
Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah.
Honestly, it might be higher than that. Because they're one of three teams that I think has a chance of making out in the East. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's happening, to be honest. I think this is the one. And I think it just makes a lot of sense. I also think for Paul George, just like, he can kind of be the guy again, which he hasn't been in years. And I'm not, obviously, like, Embiid's the guy, but like, when you play with, we would all agree that he's the second most talented. Actually, I might say he's the most talented player on Clippers. That's my hot take. But
absurd to say. It's definitely not.
Yeah, they're very similar, he and Kawhi, but like, most people would say he's the second best player on the Clippers. And despite him being the second best, he's really like the fourth option. And that's because it's Kawhi's one or two. Harden is just dribbling all the time. And then Westbrook, when he's in, he's also like dribbling all the time. So if you're going to Paul George and you're saying like, hey, we don't have a point guard, we want to see you do some on-ball creation, which you were doing in OKC, which you were doing in Indiana when you were trying to work out with LeBron and trying to be that guy, we'll bring you back. You averaged 5 assists the past couple of years in LA. We know you can do it. I think he would thrive in this role, and I could see that being enticing to him, as well as if we do end up paying him more and giving him those full 4 years. It's a lot of money, so I could see the Clippers not doing it. And, you know, like I said, he's had his concerns, but I think we're getting him. So that's my rant on Paul.
Yeah, hey, I mean, like, I love the confidence, and I hope you are right, because that would be a huge boost and something where I can head into this season and really say, hey, you know, as long as we stay healthy, which is every single season, and it comes down to how well Embiid is playing. And of course, he usually, when healthy, is at a high level. They have a phenomenal shot. I don't care about the age. Yes, it's a factor. But once again, you know, we have to look at, where are we? I mean, you always look at what Daryl Morey says every press conference. Like, well, we're in win now. We're trying to compete for a championship. There's different stages of, you know, where an organization's at. If you ask 5, 6 years ago, the answer might be a little bit different. You know, it just depends on where you are. But right now, we've been through with so many stars. You've had Butler come through here. You had James Harden. You had Simmons. There was a lot. I mean, some people might hate Simmons, but still, you had him. And it's tough to really see where this organization has kind of ended up. If we thank you, Mike Muscala, for giving us Tyrese Maxey, because without Muscala, I'm going to be honest.
Dude, I've thought about it so many times. If we did not have Tyrese Maxey, I think Joel's on a different team right now.
I wouldn't be shocked. I honestly can't even disagree with that, because it's so disappointing how poorly the front office manages. Now, yes, they had some nice moves. Thank you for Oubre on the minimum. And, you know, we had some nice things, but
it's not necessarily Maury's front office, even though I'm not going to Maury fanboy. Fucked up by trading for James Harden. He should have. And I think he could have gotten Halliburton. Yeah. Imagine how much better we'd be if we had Halliburton.
I think that's
his only egregious mistake, Maury. And cutting Isaiah Joe. But, you know.
What was that?
Well, that's the other thing, too. With Isaiah Joe, not to fucking harp on the past, but I am going to do it because I was right about Isaiah Joe, and I will never shut up about it.
You were right.
You know, we had to trade assets for Buddy Hield. Imagine if I think it was like a net 3 second round picks, and he makes a lot more money. Imagine if we had that cost controlled guy in Isaiah Joe, who I think is better than Buddy Hield. Like, dude, like, I don't know. It's a shame, but whatever. We can't do anything about it now. I'm going to spring another free agent on you that maybe you weren't anticipating.
Okay.
Now, this one's twofold. Same side of the country. Mm-hmm. Bronny James declared for the draft. The Sixers have an early second rounder. He's not one of the best 60 best players in this draft, in all likelihood. I would absolutely draft Bronny James and try to entice LeBron. We're one of the few teams with cap space, and I think it's a slight possibility. What do you think about that?
It's funny, because my dad that I was talking to earlier brought up the same thing. What do you think
about
Bronny?
I assume he was anti-LeBron.
Well, but I mean, he wants to
Clown.
win, and
Sorry.
he knows. Look, I mean, come on. As much as he jokes around, he still he understands the greatness of LeBron and kind of what he brings to your team. And to draft Bronny and maybe have a chance of saying, "Hey, LeBron, we got your son. Come over. We got the money. We can pay you. Come on over." It's not absurd. Would I hate it? No. I mean, it's hard to say F you to LeBron, and he is still playing at a high level. And you want to talk about IQ and veteran leadership? Look no further.
Nick Batum on
So,
steroids is what some people are calling LeBron.
yeah, basically. So to have a tandem of Embiid, LeBron out there, and I mean, it would be scary. It would be really, really scary. Now that isn't. Now you're getting really old, though. It's concerning at the same time,
No, fuck
but.
that. I don't care. He's been so good this season, and he gets underrated because Anthony Davis misses games with headaches, and LeBron doesn't touch the ball every
Headaches.
single time, and that team sucks outside of him.
He would be phenomenal, and he finally gets to go to a real. No offense to LA, actually, all the offense. Fuck
I
LA,
was about to say that.
pussy
They're a
ass
fucking nine
fans.
seed. Why is he staying there? If he wants to win titles, if you're trying to catch Michael Jordan, I'm not saying you go to the Sixers necessarily, but why are you staying in
I
LA? I know
promise
you
you, the
don't want to be a
Sixers will
ring
give it.
chaser.
First of all, being in the Eastern Conference gives you a better chance. The West is just tougher, number one.
I don't
And
know
then
about
second,
that because I think the West has the
the West.
Nuggets
The West is
and
tougher.
I think the I'm not
There's more talented team. I'm sorry, the Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox are all in the play-in.
Yeah, but I think those teams are just not good.
Sure, but like, I
Like,
just, I'm sorry. The Suns
I
this
think most
series,
people would
the.
agree with you. I just think the West is not this juggernaut that, like, because you can say that, but also like the sixth seed is the Pelicans, who like everyone is kind of out on Zion and
I
like what is their
guess,
best player,
but well,
Ingram.
yeah, the Pelicans have had a really good season, but still, I don't know. Like, I still think the West is a stronger. I mean, like compared to New York, Orlando, Cleveland,
No, but I'm just saying, like
Indiana.
the third seed Thunder, their second best player is Jalen Williams. The Timberwolves, their best player is Edwards, but their second best player is Gobert.
No, I
Like
mean,
I don't
there's
know.
no super teams, but I just think there's
I just think the
higher tier
Celtics and Bucks
players.
are I think the Nuggets are elite, and then I think the Celtics and Bucks are better than any other team in the West.
I mean, that's fair, but
And I
that's
think you
fair.
could argue the Sixers are the same
I
thing.
think
Do
the
you
Sixers would
so
be
the
in the
Timberwolves are the one
mix.
seed right now. Do you really think the Sixers would lose to the Timberwolves in a 7-game series?
I
I
think
think
they
we
would beat the
smoke them.
Timberwolves. I think we would lose to OKC. I don't.
Oh, I totally
I
disagree.
think
Dude,
it would go
Shea
seven.
is getting locked up. I don't care.
I think it would go seven. It would be a really good
No.
Thunder are legit. I don't
No,
know.
fuck. The Thunder are going to be awesome next year. They
He would
definitely have
bully
talent.
Chet. He would, of course, Embiid would bully Chet, but like,
Well,
it's
Chet's
just.
had success, but it's also because mostly his shots have just really gone in against us. He doesn't really have like anything to work with besides Embiid leaving him open. Which I think changes in a 7-game series. Not to go like super far in the past. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. The Timberwolves and Nugget are and the Timberwolves and the Thunder both have fraudulent tendencies. The Clippers with James Harden are always on fraud watch. I kind of like the Mavericks, so I'm not going to criticize them. And then like the Suns have two players. Like I don't I know Brad and yes I know Bradley Beal's on them. They have two players. He Bradley stinks. Bradley's Tobias. He's a little bit better than Tobias.
Nah, you take Beal over Tobias. But yeah, come on.
It's not,
I
dude.
know.
It's
I know
not
what you're
much.
saying.
And also, contract wise, you don't you, because Tobias is
Well,
gone after this year, and
yeah,
Beal's
yeah.
got more years of this, and he's
I'm just saying
terrible.
player to player, just straight up
No,
talent.
for
I mean,
sure,
we're
he's
taking
better this
Beal
year.
over Tobias. But
Yeah,
yes.
for 1 year. Yeah, but that's my point. Tobias, I wouldn't include on. I think like Kelly Oubre is better, and Nick Batum's better, and De'Anthony Melton's better. Like, so I don't know. It's just all I'm saying. And I think he's very close to what Tobias provides in terms of being like a offensive guy who's not quite as good at offense as the other guys on the team. But that's all. I don't know. But yes, LeBron. We went a little off. I don't know. They're currently the nine seed. I don't know what could possibly change in LA. I mean, I guess, obviously free agents want to go there. Maybe Paul George wants to go there, and I haven't been considering that. But I don't even think they have cap space. I have no idea what moves LA has to do. They haven't been abiding by him. They haven't really been going all in. They haven't been trading their picks. I could see LeBron being frustrated and leave, especially if we did draft Bronny, even if we don't draft Bronny. But I mean, honestly, at 40, I would draft Bronny because I could even justify it by the fact that this draft sucks, and Bronny went through some fucking tough shit with his heart condition, to put it lightly. It was really he obviously collapsed on the court. Like, he had a rough time, and he wasn't really able to play basketball. Like, I could see that being the reason why he struggled at USC. I think there's other reasons too, but You know, like he's probably at best like the Harrison twins. That's would be my working comp so far, and that's obviously not great. But at that point, you're in the 40th pick in a bad draft. Like that's usually like the 60th pick in a good draft. So I don't know. I say we take it and try to entice LeBron, even if Paul George is our number one option, which rumors have been circulating that we are the entire year that we want him. And guys like John Hollinger have really indicated that it might happen. And Mark.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the risk to take Bronny James is something where like, look, we see first rounders or late mid for what you mean, even lottery picks, but I'm saying for the most part, whatever you get a mid late first rounder, they're not guaranteed to be good players, role players, whatever. So like you said, you know, an early second and he's sitting there, take him. First of all, it's a story. It's a really cool piece. You have LeBron's son on your team. It's something. Sure. He's not going to be a great NBA player. He might be fine in the G League, but that, you know what you're getting there. And why not, like you said, kind of just take a risk and say, all right, fuck it. We'll take the name appeal and, see if we can do some LeBron and see what happens. So it's totally worth it if he's there. I assume he'll be there. I don't know what team. Maybe someone has a similar thought and they think, hey, late first, which could be scary, but I don't know. I don't know what teams are thinking.
I think some team could maybe do it. I don't mean to go super in on Bronny, because here's the other thing too, is he did declare for the draft, but I believe he doesn't have an agent hired. You can go back to school and there was a thing that he entered the transfer portal.
Correct.
Like I could see him going just elsewhere. And not actually declaring, because for what it's worth, not that he should listen to me on this sort of things, I don't think he should declare in the slightest. I think it's a horrible idea for his own career. And I really hope I'm not implying LeBron's putting him up to that, but, you know, I really hope that, like, he's not like, I get it. It's a bad draft and a team might draft you because of your dad. Like, so it's a way to guarantee getting drafted if that's what you care about, but you should. If you think you can legitimately play in the NBA, you should try to work on your game and just be drafted legitimately, even if that means LeBron's retired when you get drafted. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree for his progression for sure. It's definitely something where, you know,
he's not gonna get reps. Look at like Jaden Springer, for instance. And you know, I know I hate the guy, but
here
like,
we go.
But I'll ask you. Obviously, I'm the hater, but
Springer.
Don't you think Springer would have been better suited if he just stayed in college rather than playing in the G League and like playing 6 minutes a game?
Well, listen, Kuz, I would have took Springer in the one overall, to be honest. But no, okay. Yes, I agree. Yes, 100%.
Like, how's he developing on the Celtics and Sixers bench? He's not doing anything.
He's not, and it's absolutely true. Yeah, of course, once your eligibility's up, fine, you're done, it's over. But you know, in terms of Bronny, who has more time,
yeah, but Jaden Springer was a freshman. That's why I'm saying that. Like, and I think they have some similarities in the fact that they are like good defensive guys.
Yeah, I think people thought Springer was a little more complete though coming out.
Oh, definitely. I hated Springer at the draft.
We know. So, but I get that, and it definitely makes sense. But you know, money and money drives that. Now with NIL, I think we're seeing, which is great. I think we're seeing.
You're LeBron's
a lot more
kid. You can make money, or you can just be a nepo baby.
Well, that's of course. So I guess LeBron's son's, you know, situation, it's a little bit different, but. Yeah.
I think he's more of a star in college than he would be in the NBA. Like, no one cares about Bronny once he goes to the NBA. At USC, he was their biggest draw, even though he wasn't their best player. So, I don't know. I think he could just do that. Especially, I don't know if you know, it's like the Duquesne coach. He could transfer there. Duquesne coach was LeBron's high school teammate, Drew Joyce. Like, I don't know. He could do something like that. If he went to Duquesne, like, he'd be massive, even though it's funny because that would be in the least basketball city of all time. But
yeah, Bronny should not declare. He's not a good enough player to make the NBA at this point. But hey, I mean, when you're LeBron's son, you can
did it.
Like Uzi says, now I do what I want. That's LeBron's son. He does what he wants.
Okay. Well, on that note, we have to wrap up. I can't.
Come on, Spring.
Well, I actually had nothing to talk about more, but I'm sure I forgot something. Like last pod, when I immediately was like, "Oh my god, we didn't talk about Paul George," but. Very excited where the Sixers go. We'll do more preview-y stuff as it goes on. Of course, two games left. It's going to be a monumental game Friday. Just wasn't sure if we'd get a pod out by then, because it is the weekend. And I know a lot of people are busy, even the audience. So, Friday against the Magic, going to be a huge game, and then the Nets to finish it off. So we'll have a better idea as it gets closer. But Maltz, thanks for joining me. Where can they find you?
Yeah, let's go 2-0, close this one out, of course, and Looking forward to a great end of the regular season. It should be a good one. They have two very winnable games at full strength with Embiid back. And yeah, get through the play-in, make the playoff run, and Embiid finals MVP. I can't wait. But yeah, of course, Sixers Mania, find me in the usual spots there, PSF app, all the usual stuff. So looking forward to it. And let's finish strong. TTP, trust the process, baby.
I'm not starting a whole thing, but you talking about Embiid Finals MVP, like you really can like fan fiction the hell out of this this playoff run. Like it really realistically it could be we beat the Bucks, then we beat like, you know, I don't know which side of the bracket they're on because they wouldn't reseed. You know, you could beat Doc Rivers in the Bucks, you could beat the Heat and Jimmy Butler in the play-in. Like
Finals.
there's like you beat the
Take out the
Celtics and then you can
demons.
beat Jokic in the finals
Oh
and
my
Embiid. Like
dude.
that would be like the We would end the pod if that
An
happened.
Embiid Jokic finals would an Embiid Jokic finals would break records. It would
Yeah.
feed families.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, especially after the conference, I think that would be just insane. Or even
Please.
if the Clippers made it, like beating James Harden in the finals is
Oh God,
fucking
please give me an
unbelievable.
Embiid Jokic final.
Yeah. No,
Please.
I basketball fans should want, we talked about that earlier in the season, but like,
It'd be so great.
you don't want to do like Celtics Nuggets. I mean, that's like a little bit. I get it. You might think it's more competitive, but like we just, it's kind of just
No one
more.
wants to watch Porzingis against. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
Anyway, now that we're wrapping up, just wanted to point out there that the path is there for the most incredible Sixers run of all time. Which honestly, if they did that exact run, I think I might take that over like an additional championship. Like if they beat not once again not to continue the podcast, if they really did Heat, you know, Bucks and Celtics, then Denver, all en route to the finals, I think I would take that over an additional like ring if it considering like additional opponents, like if it was just
Yeah.
like trash people we didn't care about. Anyway, enough with the fan fiction. You can find me at Will Coffin on all social medias, and until next time, we'll be returning with the pod soon. But thank you for listening. See you then.